For no man can do these things by an act of his own will, save he finds help of the Spirit of God. Help us as we progress with you. In Jesus' mighty name. In the morning sessions, we'll have an apostolic training school. This morning we'll have two lecturers in that school. Hallelujah. Amen. So I guess I'll be the first lecturer. Matthew chapter 18. It's a school. We want to study the Word of God and find His mind on the subject of prayer. Matthew chapter 18. I really love to do it from verse 15 to 20. Matthew 18, 15 to 20. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an hidden man and a publican. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Now, I intend to, since it's a school, I intend to bring some points out plainly in the scripture that I've just read. And as we progress, you will catch what I believe the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. First PowerPoint. Whatever God wills to do, if a man does not will it on earth, God will not do it. I drew that from verse 18. Hallelujah. If a man does not will it, God will not do it. Hallelujah. There is supposed to be a harmony. A harmony between the heaven and the earth in order for God to be able to do that which he wills to do. Hallelujah. Now, I had to take the whole reading from verse 15 so that we will see the context. And the context is a brother that was falling into apostasy. Hallelujah. It happens to be that if we are going to be functional members of the body of Christ, then we'll have to submit to the authority that God has bestowed on the body. Now, I've seen a lot of people that are anointed, but they don't want to function under any form of authority. The church is supposed to be a government. We are the ones that wield the authority of God upon the face of the earth. So our entire structure is a structure of a chain of command. It's a structure of authority and submission. The entire structure of the body of Christ. Now, I don't want to go deeply into the scriptures that we just read so that we'll not get lost in talking. I just want to bring some PowerPoint out. Okay? Now, so this brother is actually becoming a victim of the spirit of lawlessness. Alright? Him and someone had a problem. And on the basis of the brotherhood, the reality of the brotherhood, if I engage you, hallelujah. Now, I and Pastor Gideon were partners in destiny, very close, and I've realized that he has a part in my ministry. He is one of the people God has raised to complete me. Right, because in the body of Christ, we function by the principle of interdependence. Now, that's how it works. You need to lean on the grace that flows through several other vessels in order for you to find accuracy, balance, and the needed atmosphere for accountability that will keep you safe. The entire system, the entire mechanism that is in the body of Christ is that it's a mechanism of government. Now, if we have government, then we are going to have submission. And there is a long chain of command that exists in the body of Christ that does not need to be broken. Now, so this person is operating outside of alignment. On the strength of the fact that we are part of a brotherhood, it behoves of me, just in case Gideon raises a point. And he doesn't necessarily need to raise it directly. Maybe in his sermon, I find something that the Holy Spirit leads him to emphasize that reveals a deficiency in my life. I'm supposed to adjust and align by the very spirit of brotherhood, knowing that in him is the spirit of God, and he happens to be one of the people that God has put alongside to complete what I am doing. And so he has authority by reason of that connection that will make me listen to him, especially when he is overtaken by the Spirit of God. Now, so efforts were made to secure this particular brother from the first level, second level. I'm not talking about church structure. But eventually, the church, by reason of his consistent rebellion, had to invoke a power. It is the invocation of that power, the presence of that power, that is the subject of my emphasis. Not the whole process that led to that invocation, but the presence of that power. They invoked a clause. They invoked a power. And by reason of that power, given that this brother has not recognized the authority of the church, the church now says, all right, from today you are a publican. Meanwhile, there are other intricacies that are related to this matter. The integrity of the presbytery in that particular local expression of the body of Christ, hallelujah, in representing God, is also brought into account before such an authority can be invoked. There are a lot of technicalities that are associated with the dispensing of this kind of authority. Are you with me? Now, I'm not going into the technicalities. I'm just trying to talk about that authority. Today, you are considered as a publican. The church has that authority. Because a man that doesn't want to function under authority cannot be part of the local expression of the body of Christ. Because the entire structure, the entire framework is built on the ground of authority. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The other day I heard a report about some people in our midst here. I heard one say that nobody can tell me to. Because I had to raise this sermon before I meet with that person. The truth is, in the church, in the local expression of the body of Christ, none of us can say that. There is no provision for that absolute stand that is irrespective of authority. Are you with me? Now, so if you are going to function in the body of Christ, then you will have to accept the burden of authority and submission, which this brother could no longer recognize in the church. And on the strength of that, because there is a laid down protocol. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. There is a laid down protocol as to how such a matter should be dealt with before the church can now resort to its last resort, which is to invoke the clause of authority, and to sentence that brother to a state of being considered as a publican. Now, I did all of that just to unveil something. Hallelujah. Please help me preach to your neighbor, because there's so much rebellion right now in the body of Christ. Now, let me say something. And what I need to say is this. We met someone that is a general overseer of a ministry, big ministry. Not a ministry he pioneered, so it's a system that you are general overseer for a time, someone else becomes, I don't know the criteria, but it's rotational. So it's bigger than any human being's agenda. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, that general overseer said, based on his experience, our generation is the problem he has in ministry. The pastors that are in our generation constitute the burden that he has as a minister. Right? You are not hearing me. You and me. We in this age bracket, we are the problem of the body of Christ. And one of the things that we have decided to take for granted is the authority structure that is in the body of Christ. If you feel that you are no longer connected to a particular ministerial stream, there is a protocol of ejecting. Say, my spirit is dying here. It means the life source that operates here has exempted me. My cell is not within the channel of life here. So you follow a statutory protocol of submitting that position and getting properly released from that system of debt. We don't know how debt came into the veins of what is supposed to be the source of life, but somehow debt found expression. Maybe cancer. You know, growths are many different kinds. We have numerical growth, we have cancerous growth. So we have different kinds of growth. Maybe there is a cancer in the growth part that has obscured life from coming to the place where your cell is, and you're exempted from the life supply. It means heaven has no allocation for you in that system. Alright? So, and you're experiencing that debt. Now, make your ejection from the system formal. Allow the authority figure in that particular system to release you from the system. Even if it takes 1 year, it takes 2 years. It means you are someone that acknowledges that in the church there is what? Authority. So we have so many anointed people that are not under any form of authority. And let me tell you something. God has told me long time ago, he said there'll be many more casualties in our own generation in ministry than there ever was. It is because of our inability to discern the body of Christ and to understand what God had vested in that body. Now, I had to do this digression in order to capture our attention. So because of his consistent unyieldedness to the structure that God by an act of his own will had established in order for his government to pass from heaven into the earth, and this guy decides to resist that structure. So the church now comes and says, from today, we are what? A publican. This is the implication. Now, I don't want to talk about the condition of that brother after that proclamation is made. Huh? I don't want to talk about his condition and probably what will befall him. There are three options of what will befall him. Now, his crime is that he has not discerned the body of Christ. What is in the body, what the body is about. And so he has defied the body. And so the body decides to react to him. And every protective covering that you have received on the account of being part of the body, we as elders in the body of Christ. An eldership is not a function of age in the body of Christ. Eldership is a function of the people that have the closest relationship and fellowship with the head of the body, so they can speak for him. So they invoke the powers of the body through their status as elders within her ranks and declare this man a publican. The next verse that follows is the verse that brings fear to my heart. The next verse says, for whatsoever is bound on earth shall be what? That's where I'm going. Now, the first principle, hallelujah.
I say hallelujah. Yeah.
The first principle I need to lay out here as we establish the prayer ministry of the church is A. Earth governs heaven. I will explain that. Earth governs heaven. Yeah, somebody is asking the question. Say, Pastor, you're already here, so finish what you have started. What is the fate of that brother that comes on that? Who is the one asking that question? Because I felt your thoughts. And it came so strong, so I knew this is somebody's thought. Hallelujah. Now listen. There are three options of what befalls a brother or a sister that does not adequately discern the body of Christ. It's an organic crime. It's an organic crime, just like we have civil crimes. That's an organic crime. Just like when you find someone that is addicted to alcohol, the person is consciously committing an organic crime, and that crime impacts upon his liver. When you begin to hear of liver cirrhosis, it's a product of a consistent organic situation, organic violation. And the word organic, we borrowed it from the chemistry textbooks, to mean a system that is powered by life. Now, so the body of Christ is the vessel that contains the life of God. In fact, that it is through the life of God that we sense the will of God. Because anyone that doesn't have the life of God doesn't have the capacity to know God. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. So, we operate an organic system. What makes us members of the body of Christ is that we are partakers of his life through his spirit. For the Bible says that if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Alright? And so, that guy has committed an organic offense. And so, the result is also going to be organic. The Bible reveals that it's because of this form of lack of discernment of what the body of Christ is that many are weak. Now, a man that is weak is a man that God is no longer supplying grace to achieve a function through his life. Have you seen someone that had a mighty calling and then suddenly, because of some organic violations, you now see him as a common man that is bereaved of grace? I heard of a music minister those days in Kaduna, for people, Tena, music minister, that used to sing and so many things happened. Then he stopped singing. Abi started a church or something. Then recently he remembered that he was a music minister and he came back. But there was an organic challenge. He was weak. That's the easiest among all the penalties that such a personality can suffer. Being weak. Suddenly you lack the ability to command deliverance unto Jacob. Meanwhile, you might have been a hurricane, a harbinger of that which God is doing on earth. Suddenly you are weak. You are incapacitated to command those dimensions. Because the oil that you carry flows from an office. It's the head of the church that occupies the office that guarantees the flow of oil. And that's why for every layer of an additional flow of oil, there is another covenant that God enters with you. Sometimes the covenants are conditional, sometimes they are unconditional. But for every new layer of oil you enter into, there is a covenant that guarantees that it will keep coming. So when the Bible says that somebody becomes weak, there is a supply that comes from Christ that has been obstructed. So he cannot have the kind of supply that made him who he was in the body. He begins to die in the body. His function dies. His memory dies. His ability dies in the body of Christ. Meanwhile, there's no physical sickness. He's okay. He might even be very, very financially buoyant, but the place he had in the body of Christ that was a function of the grace of God, he loses it because he's made weak. In line with the fact that his crime is that he has offended the head of the church. His office looks for an organic way to ensure that empowerment doesn't get to him. So he becomes what? That's the first. Somebody said it is better for you not to have money if you are going to have it and lose it in your lifetime. The case of money is easier. It's better for you not to have grace, to have oil, to have anointing. I think in my life, the day I was most anointed so far was in Malawi. God answered my prayer that day. I don't know if he will exceed that. in answering prayer. 200 people were coming for baptism. And I entered into the river. And I said, just like I was led, but it was a strange lead. I entered into the river and I said, just like it was in the pool of Bethesda, where the place was stirred, and everyone that entered first was healed of his plague. Let this pool be stirred. That water, that baptismal water, conducted deliverance from 12 noon to 4 p.m. But you know what? You know why it happened? It's called grace. It's better for that thing not to happen. Because if you have become weak and the people in Malawi now invite you again. It's an organic matter. It's... Oh! I was on the pulpit and I saw a red python. Then I said, oh! Even the red python came to church. 13 people began to off their clothes, become naked. There was nothing the ushers could do to restrain them. But so we had to avoid them and continue with our Bible study. That deliverance was conducted that day without the hand of a man. It was later that I discovered that the local python court knew that I was coming into the land and they had been given instructions to stop the young man. But when I stood on the pulpit, I said, the python himself came to church and the stranglehold, that court was dissolved. It was in Malawi. I finished preaching and we went home and the woman went and sat on my seat and she prophesied till evening. When that news came out, people came from Zambia. The trek from Zambia, it was 2.5 days journey. Trek from Zambia. Putting their sick in wheelbarrow. When I saw the people from Zambia, they looked like people that were raised from the dead. Hallelujah. There was a government official that we prayed for in Lilongwe. He had a cut on his back inside. That is one of his muscles. So it was revealed by an X-ray. I prayed for him. He didn't believe my prayer until he went and took another X-ray. 2 days after I prayed for him, and God had removed the torn one and replaced it with another one. Even the doctor himself was the one that almost fell. So when we came back, the man was a believer. He was an unbeliever before we left. He was a believer before we came back after 7 days. From his house to the airport, the driver said, Pastor, this is my father-in-law's house. Let's greet him. I got there, saw that his father-in-law was deaf. From the age of 9, that was when his hearing was sick. And I touched him. I said, Jesus can heal. I didn't even pray for him. I just touched him. The ESO. His wife had arthritis, could not stand up. I touched her. She began to walk. The son came and spoke in his house. Said, hey, this fake prophet, this fake. I heard it as loud as human voice. So I went to him. I said, you called me a fake prophet. He knelt down. I blew air on him. He was slain. I left them. The man begged me to lie on his bed for 30 minutes so that something would drop. Meanwhile, I was late for my flight. The driver was crying while we were going to the airport. Crying. Crying and driving in the night. But you know that, you know what? It was grace. If you have become weak before you visit Malawi again, it's better for you to turn down the invitation. He said, for this cause, many are weak. Then the second point is many are
sick, that's physical sickness. You know, it's an organic crime, so it has organic repercussions.
You won't like this one, but I have to say it. We went for a meeting in Sokoto. As I was preaching, a lady was in the crowd and she insulted me from the crowd. And instantly she became dumb. Her ability to talk, she became dumb. She wrote on a piece of paper and told the ushers her sin. They passed it. And one brought it. When I read it, the writing, I could even understand what I threw it. We wanted to go. They said, "Pastor, you can't go. There's problem." There's problem. Okay, what is this? Want to go? They said, "Pastor, don't go." And they will say it so politely that you can't be angry. What's that? This lady has. She's dumb now. That's the problem. Then I had to plead with the head of the church. Plead. And he released her speaking. There is another one that became mad. That one, we could not help that one. I don't want to go into details. But we couldn't help that one. Became mad. They called me which day and said the person is mad. I said, okay. So, when you were doing what you were doing behind, were you under a spell? Hallelujah. This is somebody that stayed in my house. This is somebody I gave money to start business. This is somebody, through that somebody, I also gave the elder brother money to start business while I was in Lagos. And then this person went to connive so that I'll be struck. And the one I serve struck her. She's mad now. So when the family called me, which day, I said, I did not curse her, but this one I will curse you. I have nothing to do with that matter. Do I have anything to do with it? So why are you saying that? Let's bring her so that we... She became what? You see, you are not understanding. It's an organic matter. I'm trying to quote it so that people that are involved in the matter will not even know that's what I'm saying. Now, the thing is, it's not that I'm such a righteous man. Or it's not really that maybe I'm so powerful. You see, I am aligned properly in the body. That's the only problem. And then you come into head-on collision with the head of the church when you try to meanwhile, I didn't curse her. I didn't pray about it. I didn't do anything. All I did was that one day I was eating food and God said, "Your pastoral work over this person has finished." So I called. I said, "My pastoral work over your life has ended. Take your bag and go." That's when the madness started. And today now, it's a serious case. Because the body was not discerned. You might have a pastor that is friendly and he smiles. And then you don't discern that there's something that is behind him. Many more people will be injured that way. And the Bible says, for this cause also, many sleep. So physical death befalls a lot of people untimely because they did not discern what? So I've digressed. I just answered your question. But my emphasis is that the church was able to invoke something. And when they invoked what they invoked, it was done in heaven. So that is to say that the earth governs heaven. Now, I don't have time to show you how the heaven was created and how the earth was created. Because God had an intention to have two homes. And he wants every infrastructure that is in heaven that makes it conducive for him to be on earth. Somehow, because of the way, the peculiarity of the earth. Right? It can govern. Especially when man was placed on earth and jurisdiction was allocated. Then, the level of influence that heaven will have on earth is that which is allowable by earth. So God might have a will, and that will is established in heaven. But God will not do that will until what? There is a man on earth that wills it. So earth governs heaven. So under earth governs heaven, I have some PowerPoints. First PowerPoint. The broad heading is earth governs what? Heaven. First PowerPoint. Whatever God wills to do, if a man does not will it, God will not do it. Good example is Exodus chapter 17, verse 9-11. Are you with me? Oh my, are you with me? Now listen. Moses was on the mountaintop with his hands. Okay, maybe we'll do that reading. Oh, the media guys already have it on. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. The question I need to ask here is, who is responsible for the victory? Is it God or Moses? Both. All right. But you see, the difference is this. In heaven, God wills that Israel wins, but on earth, Moses delivers the victory on it. So God wills it. But if Moses doesn't want the will of God to come to pass, he can actually obstruct it by putting down his hand. Meanwhile, I need you to see the posture that he was going to have to be in order for victory to find expression. His two hands. That's a praying man. God wills it, but earth must will it too before God can perform it. So in heaven, it was God doing it, but on earth, it was Moses delivering it. That's first PowerPoint on earth governs heaven. Second PowerPoint. We cannot make God do what he doesn't want to do, but we can hinder him from doing what he wants to do. We can't make him will But we can hinder him from carrying out something that he has willed. Third PowerPoint. In heaven, the issue is decided by God, but on earth, before men, it was decided by Moses. So on the strength of this first principle, I want to define prayer. Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. Earthly permission for heavenly interference. Prayer is a kingdom activity. It's a kingdom activity that survives on the will of God. So at any point in time where our supplication is contrary to the will of God, we should not expect results. It's a kingdom activity. You know, I met some believers, they said they are faith believers. As if we are not all faith believers. But they said they are of the faith block. I heard their messages and all of that. I said, oh my God. You guys don't realize that in the kingdom of God, the will of God is superior to your faith. In fact, the Holy Spirit will not impart faith if the will of God is not in view. Because what the guy was teaching was that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And the preacher said, if English means anything, it means whosoever can get whatsoever. And I said, sorry. You are in error. In the kingdom of God, nothing happens that is not by God's energy, that is not a function of God's will. So nothing originates with you. Nothing starts with you. You are a being that is subject to alignment. You are sentenced to alignment because you don't call the shots. So that your fake faith will not work. Because I tried that thing some time ago. Yes, I did more faith than most of the people that talk about it now. There was a vehicle in the car park, and I went there and said, you will not be sold until I have money to buy you. That was the first car that was sold. But I said it, yeah, no, with faith. As you begin to grow in God, you leave the toys away. All those fake things, that is an exaggeration. When you begin to do kingdom work, you begin to see how superior the will of God is. And then you now discover that you were not called to be creative, you were just called to align. Yes. No, it's alignment. Prayer is a proof that you are humble enough to accept your kingdom position. And you want to partner with God so that his will can be established on earth. It is earthly permission for what? Heavenly interference. Now, in the school, I want to drop two scriptures to seal up that point. Then we'll make progress. Now, there is a scripture that is almost always confused in the Bible. Okay, let's do Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37. My time is almost up. And media people, I like your displays. Can you help me with the scripture? Ezekiel 36:37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Now, God says, I have an intention to increase Israel with men like a flock. But because of this my intention,
Israel will have to inquire of me. Israel will have to pray to me. But my intention is clear. What do I want to do? I want to increase them with men like a flock. But he said, for this shall I be inquired of. That is to say, the fact that it's God's will doesn't make it happen on earth. Man must will it, and man must pray it. Then God will have the statutory permission from earth in order for him to be righteous in executing his will upon the face of the earth. Now, this is the simplest part of the progression. Because as we ascend in the kingdom, prayer takes on different forms of technicalities. And we must understand the science that is involved in speaking to a spirit that is a king, that is a judge, that is a lawgiver. There is a science, just like the barristers. I've discovered now that I was not supposed to be a scientist. I was supposed to be in the law class. But it's too late right now. So we can't do okay. It's not late. I've checked my aptitude, I've checked my ability, I've seen that it was law. And I think Gideon too should have been in that class. His wife is a master's degree student. Okay. Yes, student in law. But the wife says, my husband practices more of law than me. Hallelujah. In communicating, speaking with a spirit that is a king, that is a judge, that is a lawgiver, there are technicalities when we begin to enter into real kingdom manipulations. Hallelujah. But I'm just setting the basics. So that's the first one. Then this is the scripture. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 11 is the scripture that I said there's a lot of controversy around that scripture. Isaiah 45 verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. All right. Now, you see, first of all, the subject. That's actually one of the capacities that we have in the kingdom of God. But that can only be employed when we are certain of what the will of God is about a matter. When we are certain of what the will of God is about a matter, we can insist that, God, you will do this. God, this will happen. Especially when, for instance, I'm ministry, and God now speaks to me about what he wants to do. I command him. But you see, if you are ignorant and you are looking at what is happening in the flesh, you will not understand that first and foremost, I secured the will of God. And when I secured the will of God, all I did was to, oh my Lord, do that thing that you say you want to do. The first day I raised the cripple, it was in a home fellowship meeting. And the opening prayers were going on. Meanwhile, in that home fellowship meeting, the previous one, I told them, go to the mortuary, bring the dead, go to the street corners, bring blind people. When you find people that are maimed, part of their body cut off,
bring them, because God will find expression. I gave that charge on Sunday, towards the next Sunday. All right? And then on Monday, I was mysteriously given a car after that utterance. So all through the 1 week, I was driving car round Abuja. I used to horn on the street. I even horn in the filling station. I was saying, I'm here. Jesus. And I gave my life to Honda for 1 week. It was when I woke up on Sunday morning, I realized I had not prayed, and I told the people to go and bring the dead. Mokele mosile aromosia. They looked for a dead person. They didn't find any dead. But they found a cripple. And they brought the cripple to the fellowship. When the prayer meeting started, I was so happy because there was no visible sickness present. Then I spoke in tongues. Until they now opened the door. And it was as if the person was finding it difficult to enter. Even me, the tongues was in the flesh now, because then I saw them wheeling in. It was the burden of getting the wheels through the door that was the reason for the waste of time. They wheeled the cripple in and wheeled the person close to where we normally, so that the pastor won't deny that. Then I began to confess my sin. How that I gave my life to Honda for 1 week. That God should reach down with mercy. That prayer continued. I was there. I was releasing. Oh, God. And then God now whispered, I will raise the cripple. I say I'm repenting for Honda. We have not started discussing this cripple matter. We are still in the repentance mode. He said, I will raise the cripple. He spoke twice. I saw praying. I went, people were still praying. I heard the lady. I said, Jesus said, rise up and walk. Guess what? She fell down. So when she fell down, there was much noise in the place. So the prayers, that was sufficient to quench the prayer. I said, Jesus did not say, fall down. He said what? Rise up. Walk. She fell again. I said, Jesus did not say, fall down. I said, Jesus said, rise up. Walk. And then she wanted to put one hand like this so that if she falls, she will fall and she will hold herself on the chair and sit down. So something came on me. I hit the chair off and I pushed her. And she staggered and she began to walk. Now, I insisted that she will walk because what? Jesus says so. That's how you raise the dead too. I've seen that one for the dead. He gave an instruction in the spirit. I asked again, are you sure? This is what you really want to do. He spoke again. Even when you are in unbelief and you ask God, he can speak again. Now, you see, when God speaks about something or you receive a dream twice, it's established. When God speaks one and you inquire again and speaks again, that's how I check it. It's established. Then I come and say, okay, God wants to do this. That lady began to walk. Some people came late for that home fellowship. So as they were coming, they saw somebody walking. And then people were crying. The women started crying. I say, in Jesus' name, so that we can preach. They cried more. So I left them and went into my Honda. And I told my Honda, I will never serve you. in filling station I used to hum. So you secure the will of God first. And you can ask God to do what he wants to do by his own way. And that's when he steps into it. Second principle, let me just introduce that before I sit down. That's what we call the need for the harmonious will. The need for the harmonious will. The need for the harmonious will. And what I mean by the harmonious will is earth and heaven willing the same thing. Earth and heaven willing what? The same thing. Hallelujah. Let me read my script to you. God has his will concerning all things, but he will do nothing of himself alone on earth. He will take action only after the free will on earth responds to his will. The heavenly move will be accomplished on earth only when God is assured of the same will on earth. This is what we call the ministry of the church. And this ministry is brought about through prayer. If the church does not have this ministry, she is not of much use on earth. So the church, which is the instrument that God will work with if he wants to work on earth, has a principal purpose of seeking perpetually to secure the will of God concerning everything, and to provide prayer which grants God permission to perform that is will on earth. This is what the ministry of the church is. The church is supposed to secure the harmonious will, because the church is living for Christ, existing for Christ. And as long as any local expression of the body of Christ is not synchronized with the will of God, it becomes a house where demons are found. It is alignment that secures us in life. The Bible speaks of this alignment as a principle that supports the body life. You see, the Bible reveals that every joint supplies strength. But you see, the ligaments that are aligned with that joint must be in perspective in order for them to be able to receive strength. There's an alignment principle that is the working principle that is in the body of Christ. Harmony. Right? Harmony with one another. If I'm not in harmony with you, you cannot contact what I carry. If I'm not in agreement with you, you cannot contact what I carry. In fact, our corporate operation will not pass the test of purity. So the earth or the church is supposed to secure the harmonious will. It's supposed to create passage for God to be able to carry out his will upon the earth. There is something I wrote in my script quickly. I don't know if it's time to read it, but I have to read it now. Hallelujah. Please take note of this. It's a PowerPoint. Based on this harmonious will. First PowerPoint based on the harmonious will. Many devotional prayers comma. Prayers for request, comma. Devotional prayers, prayers for request cannot substitute a prayer ministry work of the church. The prayer ministry work of the church has to do with will. Okay. For instance, Pastor Gideon may want, what's that new BlackBerry? Okay, BlackBerry Priv. Ah, the new one, BlackBerry Priv. That's the one that is 220,000. It runs on an Android platform. And Pastor Gideon loves BlackBerries. Now, so Pastor Gideon wants a BlackBerry Priv. And he's asking God for it. There's a place for that. But what you are doing in asking God for a BlackBerry is not part of the prayer ministry of the church. Meanwhile, there is a provision for that for petitioning in the kingdom. I'm asking for a four-wheel drive so that I can do missions work in places where the roads are not fully aligned. That is not part of the prayer ministry of the church. Based on the principle of the what? Harmonious will. And so we go to a ministry in Lagos that has a camp, prayer city. And they are supposed to be a ministry that have carried on a prayer burden as a ministry. So it means intercessors should be raised there. There should be prophetic insight into the shapes of territories and the offensive that the demonic realm is launching at cities. That's where we should be getting the data bank from. But 99.9% of the prayers that are raised in that place are petition prayers. Petition. That is not a prayer ministry, unfortunately. It's only babes that will see chewing gum or balloon and think it's big. That's balloon. It's a ministry of requests and a ministry of petitions. It's not the prayer ministry. The prayer ministry of the church is tied to the principle of the harmonious will. You cannot execute that kind of ministry if you are not in touch with God's will for a territory, God's will for a people, God's will for a people group. So if you don't know the prophetic perspective of God concerning a people, you cannot set up a prayer infrastructure that can facilitate that intention of God. In my own humble opinion, as a believer that is has been more than 27 years in the body of Christ, Mantle of Fire is not a prayer ministry. It's a ministry of tables, meeting the needs of men. It's a distraction to the cause of Christ upon the face of the earth. It is his feet are immersed in error. And from the way I see it evolving, demons will hijack it in the next 8 years. Because that's not the first time that kind of movement started on earth. Now, don't preach like this. I'm a customs officer in the spirit. And because of that, I have compliments. I have authorization to probe, to check and to decipher and to expose reality to the body of Christ. This, I'm doing my ministry. Now, so don't look at me and say, and go somewhere and say, you know, you might come down. Ela komoza ina kan. Moria saka mantonia. It's a distraction. The harmonious will. In fact, when we begin to do function in the prayer ministry of the church, we don't come with prayer points. Most times. As we hop into the spirit realm, we are embodied by the Holy Ghost. At the spur of the moment, he brings breaking news out of heaven. He shows you where heaven needs the support in order to gain mastery of earth. And then you provide the infrastructure. It means God has a church in that locality. Because that kind of a function can happen.
And if God doesn't have people that are aligned with his will to make it harmonious, then we are not of much use on it. Now, so the church right now is not of much use.
Yes.
And that's why in politics, we're irrelevant. In economics, we're irrelevant. There's no new wisdom breaking out of heaven. We went to Israel the other day. They had an answer for everything. No mineral resource. It's a desert place. It's a forgotten place, a wilderness. Rocky. But you see the wisdom of God at work. They planted a forest in a desert. Israel is the only country, I don't know, okay, it's one of the countries that is debt free. They don't owe anybody anything. They export food from a desert. You need to see that. In fact, Israel has the highest record in animal production worldwide right now. Wisdom. But there's no fresh wisdom because the church is not so useful to God. In fact, the church has become a hindrance to the manifestation of the will of God upon the face of the earth. Because if there is no prayer in the house of God, as we established yesterday, if it doesn't function, if it's not a called a house of prayer, if that is not our corporate identity, it's a den of thieves, of robbers. It will be money centered, and the one that drives that sphere is called the angel of commerce. He is called Lucifer. That's the one that is revealed in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. He said, because of thy widespread trade, thou hast filled the earth with violence. He is into trading. He's the one that is a master of exchange. Now, Lucifer, as the angel of commerce, would not have been relevant if what we did was trade by barter. Eh? If we use barter system, okay, you want this, I want this, we exchange. Look, that angel of commerce will not have a platform to function. But the day ago, a medium of exchange came. He found a platform. He even traded until he is now trafficking in the souls of men. So there are many churches that have establish an infrastructure. I'm not saying God doesn't bless people, but blessing, according to the book of Galatians chapter 3, is the spirit that watches over the covenant that Abraham and God had. That spirit is what the Bible calls blessing. That spirit can work in your life. It will improve your life. It will advance your life. There will be such improvement in your life that by leaning on him, he will give you wisdom on how to make money. But you see, you know that the source of that money is him. So God is not opposed to financial increase. I'm just talking about the systems of the financial preaching and the financial churches that we have today. It's more or less an infrastructure for the angel of commerce, much more than it is for the kingdom. I don't want to go into details. You will see commerce there. You will see commerce. You see that angel at work. Most of us attended missionary schools. Is it not so? Me, I attended Mount St. Gabriel's secondary school. Yes, let me see. Missionary, you attended the mission school. Almost missionary school. Today we have missionary schools that the people whose tithes were used to build the schools cannot attend. Is that a missionary school? That's the angel of commerce at work. I have to say that. And you see, there are several things in scripture labeled the accursed thing. Now, God gave Adam so much in the garden. He said, this one is the accursed thing. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. It's accursed. Alright? His problem started when he what? Tampered with accursed things. You remember the story of Achan and the accursed thing. God said, spend 9/10 of your income. Give me 1/10. That 1/10 is their cost. Are you with me? Your life will turn upside down if you don't know what is at cost. Now, so if you receive their costing, it belongs to God. Are you with me? And the purpose for which their costing exists is so that there can be meat in my house. I don't want to go into that. Hallelujah. There can be meat there. So that there's an economic system that runs in the house of God that takes care of household issues. So that several things are handled within that economic arrangement. Because God is an economist too. Okay? Now, we take their costing, we take contributions from people unto God to build a project for his name. And we are not operating that project by his principle. And I need you to understand, you are not here. You know that thing called principle? The principle by which I operate is either drawn from the second heavens or the third heavens. That idea you are running with. If the idea is from the third heavens, it will produce the results of the third heavens. If the idea is from the second heavens, it will produce the result of the second heavens. It will give glory to the source from whence the idea has come. So the principle you operate with is relevant. You can be a sincere man of God, but operating the 48 laws of power in your ministry. So what you are using your anointing to adorn is an idea that hails from where the second heavens. And you are using your entire life to squander on that idea. You are lost. It doesn't matter how much of infrastructure you build. You built it in the name and to the glory of the idea that prompted you. In my own opinion, there is real wealth still coming. What we have seen as prosperity in this nation is stained with the hands of man. There is something that God will yet do that no man can take glory about. To advance his true projects upon the face of the earth, he will yet do that. The church has no use on earth if it's not an infrastructure that secures the harmonious will. It means that we need new kinds of platforms. Because if the harmonious will is what we seek, you begin to have insight about the territory. Begin to have insight about Enugu. You will know what is holding Enugu back. You begin to labor with God on that ground. And God will begin to break out gradually. That is the reason why the church exists. Outside of that, the church is not useful. So I will stop here for the first lecture. We have a long journey. So we'll be doing 2 lecturers in the morning. So that we can cover ground. Now the call that we bring to us today is this. For so long, the mainstream churches have abandoned what gives us relevance in heaven. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayers of petition, prayers of requests is supposed to prepare us for prayers of intercession, prayers of supplication. I will show you subsequently as we build the truth how that the church is a part of the court system of heaven. And what exactly God is expecting the church to accomplish that will enable heaven to advance in her agenda in establishing the purpose of heaven on earth. We'll go into all those intricacies. And then when there are situations that have legal issues attached to them, how cases are argued in the court of the universe. You need to be taught how it works. Because the covenant that is in your family is valid. It's a spiritual covenant. It's a covenant of alignment with darkness, and it is binding. But we need to understand the constitution and how to manipulate, how to argue cases concerning lands and concerning families and clans. How that is done. Now, so we say we have a prayer ministry that has not taught people how to mount up, what it means to observe a summon. The balloon will soon break. To give way to that which is accurate. 9 million people on a field, and their prayers cannot shift the principality in Ogun State. Ogun State recycles an Islamic leadership over the state. Meanwhile, we have campsites that harbor up to 9 million people, but they cannot change the seat of government. It's fake. I know you won't like me again. But the truth is this, if we cannot secure the harmonious will, we are of no use, even if we are a billion. 9 million people will gather. The message that is being preached is not a message from the heart of God. It's a message from the Bible. And people's soul go lean and hungry. And because of the stature of the minister, he can work miracles. But the word of God did not come from him. There was no harmony between his spirit and the spirit of God concerning the people and the territory. And a prophet comes into a territory, he has no word for the land. No word for the entire land. And they say, great man of God. That era is coming to an end. Hey. The harmonious will is lost. And so men are talking. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in that particular cadre that have a very buoyant relationship with God. And that's why I believe he's conscious. You cannot do that unconsciously. To seal up. When John the Baptist rose, the Bible revealed that he began to preach about the kingdom. Began to prophesy about the kingdom. Began to emphasize the kingdom. So people began to understand the kingdom. Hey. And then it was because of John the Baptist's preaching that the gate of the kingdom was opened and many people began to enter. If it is true that you have encounters with God and you have not been able to preach about your encounters, preach about what God is dealing with you about so that people can understand and begin to enter those realms that you are operating from, you shall change a generation and your name will be blotted out from the landmark of legacy. That's not why God raises a prophet. The harmonious will is what is lost. That's what I'm trying to make us understand. So we have gotten used to doing things outside of the harmonious will. May it not be said, when we are done with this life, then I'll show you on the screen what you would have become. And you were everything other than that which was on that screen. That means you lived a life that was outside of the harmonious will. Don't forget my PowerPoint. Petition prayers. Prayers of request cannot take the place of the prayer ministry of the church, which is predicated upon what? The harmonious will.